Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Marlon. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be a part of this. This is a very important call we're going to be on, because I think this organization we're going to be introducing some of you to is really one of the most important organizations in the country. And has a great future, but I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But first, as always, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so very, very grateful for every good thing that we as Americans particularly experience. And even though we're suffering some very, very dire threats to our country's future, but we're still the greatest nation on earth, and we still live better than the rest of the world, and we're still the envy of the world, and our southern border is a testament to that truth. But Lord, we are concerned about whether this great constitutional republic will continue, and we know that if certain forces have their way, it will not continue. They will destroy it if they can. They are working very hard to fundamentally transform it from a constitutional republic built on Judeo-Christian values and principles and foundations to a Marxist, socialist, secularist state that is built on whatever the whims and the fancies are of the people who claim to run it and control it. And so, Lord God, we've got a very stark choice before us, and we pray that you'll help us as a nation to make the right one. And so, Lord, we just commit our country to you. We commit these leaders in their various fields of endeavor and action to you. We commit Jason Rapert, who has started a wonderful organization, Lord, the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. We commit him and that organization to your loving care, because we know, Lord, it's going to take all of us working with you to save this nation. Add your super to our natural, Lord, and give us a supernatural result. Bring an awakening to the United States of America that would shake everything that ought to be shaken, Lord, and solidify and stabilize everything that needs to be stabilized and strengthened. And so we thank you and we praise you that we are not as those without hope, because our hope is in Christ Jesus. And that hope will never fail us. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, this is a very special program, and we got a very special guest, because I really believe he is on the cutting edge of what this country needs. You can read all about his biography, and it's extensive. Jason Rapert is the former state senator for the state of Arkansas. Accomplished in many different arenas. He's now become a broadcaster. But we're having him here because he's the founder and the president of the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, which I think is an organization that has been sorely needed, and God gave him the vision and the energy and the determination to get it started. And it is quickly catching on all over the country, as I knew it had to, because it's something Christians desperately need, this kind of legislative leadership coming from a Christian and biblical worldview. And that's what Jason offers. So, Jason, thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of what I know is a very busy schedule, because you got a whole lot of stuff that you're doing. But welcome to the National Awakening Coalition conference call. The floor is yours.
Well, fantastic. Thank you, Bishop Jackson. And, you know, I'll just tell you that when I think of people across the country that are standing up for the Judeo-Christian values and principles that we sorely need in this country, you are chief among them. And I want to thank you for immediately accepting a role on our advisory board. And so I just want to begin today, tell a little bit about where we stand as the NACL at this moment. And I know we're going to focus in on the pro-life issues in the country today. So, Bishop, you step in where you need to, but I'm going to just kind of set the stage for where we're at from the NACL. First of all, I appreciate everybody that might be tuning in today, or those that might be listening afterwards. The National Association of Christian Lawmakers was actually launched in 2019. The first charter meeting that occurred was in August of 2020 in Florida. We were initially going to launch in Washington, D.C., but due to the COVID issues, we were unable to do that. And so we were happy to be able to get back to D.C. last December. But we launched the National Association of Christian Lawmakers to be able to bring together state senators, state representatives, local officials, state, local, and federal across the country to come together on a regular basis to discuss and debate the major policy issues that are affecting our country, but to openly do that from a biblical worldview. And Bishop, as you know, people that have been involved in the public arena often are very familiar with ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, NCSL, the National Conference of State Legislators, NCOIL, the National Conference of Insurance Legislators. These are what are called para-legislative organizations, right? Or para, these are para groups. And so they have people involved that are in public service that hold positions, but they are para-legislative groups around the country. But what was missing is there was none of them that openly discussed issues from a biblical worldview. And so we believe, just like our founding fathers, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, of which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And those founding fathers mentioned God as our Creator, God as the supreme judge of the world, God as nature's God, and God as divine providence. And we believe those values. That was the missional document that started what we now know as the United States of America. But so often today, God is pushed out of the public square completely. And so we thought it would be good to form an entity, and I urge anyone that's listening, you can go to the ChristianLawmakers.com website, and you can go to the members page, and you can read the mission statement of the NACL. A few statistics on that before we pivot right into the pro-life issues that we want to talk about today is, since we launched the entity, by God's grace, we do have members and supporters that now show up in all 50 states across the country. We have 35 states where a state senator or state representative has said they feel the call to serve, and they're serving as what we call a state chair. And they serve on an executive committee, which is part of the National Legislative Council body at the NACL. And so we now have members that are also considering them in two other states. So we could reach 40 states very easily. And we're not just throwing people in those positions, Bishop Jackson. And so these are people that feel a real call to take a stand. And often they are one of the leading conservative Christian elected officials in their state. And so there's so many wonderful things that we could talk about, but I'm trying to switch to the pro-life issue here for the focus. But I will want your listeners to know that they have passed, since they began, 24 model resolutions, statutes, and model laws that they recommend to be endorsed around the states. The very first one that we endorsed as a model happened to be the Heartbeat Bill, which included the Texas Civil Cause of Action provisions. This was before the Dobbs decision overturned Roe v. Wade. And as for me personally, I was very excited about that because I actually carried the first Heartbeat Bill that was passed successfully in the country March the 6th of 2013. That's what brought me together with our good friend Janet Porter, who also serves on our advisory board, and Alan Parker, and Frank Pavone, and Kristen Hawkins, and others. We began to tap into that national network of pro-life leaders. And so the NACL passed the Heartbeat Bill. Senator Brian Hughes of Texas, state senator there, who carried the Senate bill for the Heartbeat Bill in Texas, he was there and proposed this as a model at the NACL. Representative John McCraby of South Carolina, who is on one of our officers right now, of our legislative council. He is the primary backer of the Heartbeat Bill in South Carolina that, you know, has been hard fought in their state. And we now have some 15 states that have some form of a Heartbeat Bill that's been put into place. And so what was once thought going too far, as they would say to me, is now become a go-to position for many of our states, including even Florida. which is a state I'm sitting in today while I'm speaking with you. The state of Florida passed the heartbeat bill with Governor DeSantis. And so we have two of the largest states in the country, Texas and Florida, and then other states like ours scattered around the country that have passed heartbeat bills. And with the Dobbs decision, I'm going to go ahead and move to that, folks, so that we can focus on that, Bishop, and you can pull out of me whatever questions you want to. And that is that with the Dobbs decision, that then overturned Roe, and in some of our states, including our own, we had passed a law that I carried in the Senate as prime sponsor and Representative Mary Bentley carried in the House, what's called a trigger bill. And so as soon as the way the law read is that as soon as there is a decision that overturns Roe v. Wade, then Arkansas bans all abortions except to save the life of a mother in a medical emergency. Boom, that's it. And so literally the afternoon after the decision was announced by the United States Supreme Court, at that moment, the Attorney General of Arkansas and the governor came out. They pulled out the bill that I had filed and that me and Mary Bentley had passed, and they enacted and certified that Roe had been overturned. And at that moment, abortion ended in the state of Arkansas through any legal means. Now, we obviously know that there are people that are violating those bans around the country through what is called these mail order abortions, which is a big issue that we all are grappling with. The Obama administration, the Biden administration, and even back to the Clintons started making it easier and easier to get access to these abortion pills. And now we're in a situation where they have made it so easy that off there are tons of organizations sending these out by mail. The sad reality is that means that women are self-administering their own abortions. They have no doctor, physician, or nurse that is nearby to help them if they have one of those awful complications that some end in death, by the way. It's a terrible situation. And so you have people that are being sent these killing drugs, and they are putting them in their body. And in some cases, they will have complications of these that could end up in death for themselves, not only the little baby that's on the inside of them. And so I could go further down that issue, but I want to pivot to the abortion amendment, which is what I believe Bishop wanted to talk about today. And so you have states like Arkansas, you have states like Texas and Florida and South Dakota, the states that enacted partial or total bans on abortion or the heartbeat bills. You've got these abortion amendments that are being proposed by the abortion lobby across the country. And they are definitely heavily financed, Planned Parenthood throwing all their resources, ACLU helping them where they can and be complicit. And then Governor Pritzker in Illinois formed an entity called Think Big America. Its primary force was to spread abortion rights across the country and fight states that have precluded or ended abortions in their states. And they are putting together big, big money. Some people call it dark money because you don't know who's behind some of the money that's been given to them. We know that Soros and their entities are back behind it, definitely. And they push these abortion amendments. They ran one in Kansas, which many people thought very conservative-leaning state. They were successful in their effort in Kansas, which has now made it upended their abortion restrictions there. They were successful in Michigan. They were successful in Ohio. And now they've targeted other states in the country, and guess what? They're including the state of Arkansas, where I'm from. And our position, with the laws that we were able to pass, Bishop, we have been named for 4 years in a row the most pro-life state in America based upon our protections of the unborn, and they want to hang Arkansas's hide on a wall with this abortion amendment proposal. And what they're doing in these states is that they are proposing that you allow exceptions for rape or incest, life, health of the mother, and they're stating them in a way that it virtually allows abortion now right back up until birth because they're making these huge loopholes. In Arkansas, they are trying to focus on the fact that they're trying to allow exceptions again for abortion, but guess what? They allow any reason up to 18 weeks. And so most well over 90% of all abortions that ever occurred in our nation occurred before that 15-week period. And so we see the left has decided to circumvent the will of the people through their legislatures and their governor that has passed these bills, signed them into law. They are now wanting to circumvent them by running very, very clever media-driven campaigns that truly will state falsehoods. They will literally lie about what's going on and what's at stake here. And it's just playing on that person that's watching the television or listening to the radio, and they hear a 30-second or a 60-second soundbite, and they're tricked into being involved in these things. Bishop, I want to conclude and let you ask me some questions of things to make sure we're getting exactly the information that you need out on the table here today. But I want to say this. When I listen to the feedback from our pro-life friends and legislators around the country and see what's happening in these states, one of the things that I know to be true, if all the churches and the pastors in those pulpits would stand in that pulpit and preach the word of God on this issue and urge people to go out and to be salt and light on this issue, all of these amendments would have been defeated in the past, and all of them from here on out would be defeated too, because there are a lot of Christians that are simply not engaged. They're not voting for whatever reason. But the Bible says in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, there are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination. One of those are hands that shed innocent blood. I happen to believe that there is no Christian in the United States of America or around the world, if you are an adherent to the literal word of God, there is no way that you can rationalize scripturally that abortion is okay. Not only that, we know that God said to Jeremiah that he formed him before he knew him in the womb. You hear me that? So even before he was formed in the womb, God knew Jeremiah. So God knows the souls of these, of all of the billions of people throughout the history of the planet Earth. He knew them before they were formed in the womb. And here we are in a day and time where our nation is engaging in an absolute slaughter of little innocent baby children. And I'm telling you, if everybody on this call believes that we stand before an awesome and a mighty God and we give an account for who we are, just as I think that people have given an account for their sins allowing Jews to be killed in Nazi Germany during World War II, I think also we surely must be accountable for over 65 million little babies that have been slaughtered in our nation for convenience. And what I am asking the pulpits to do is to stand up and preach the truth. And then the next thing is this, to get involved. Bishop, I could go on and on. We only got a few minutes left, but I'm telling you that what's happening is that you've got pastors that are literally rationalizing a reason why not to address this in their pulpit. But I'm going to ask you, the Bible says, for him that knows to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. And I am saying that every Christian, every pastor, every evangelist, every teacher, every television preacher that's out there, if you are not actually standing up and speaking to this sin and to this crime against humanity that's occurred in this country, you have absolutely been derelict in your duty. Because it is within our power to speak up for those that are being slaughtered. It's within our power to speak up about the love that we have for the mother and for the child and everybody that is involved. I have a son-in-law that was adopted by his parents, and his biological mother had a situation, and she chose to keep the baby and to allow Braxton to be adopted. I wouldn't have my son-in-law today had she decided to take his life and abort him. I saw the other day, Bishop, and I'm going to close so you can ask me some questions.
Okay.
There's so much more to talk effectively about how we do, but I watched a beautiful black lady from Oklahoma and her daughter stand on the front steps of the Arkansas Capitol at our March for Life. And she said she was helping her mother clean an office in Oklahoma in a community there when she was a teenager. The man that owned that office raped that girl in that office. A horrible crime. Absolutely horrible crime. She relayed how that the community sided with the man and tried to just, you know, get her out of the way. You know, we need to abort the baby, get out of town, all those things. But she said she was going to keep that baby. And I watched her tell all this story with her daughter that's probably 35, 40-year-old now, who was singing at this event. And by the way, it was twins. It wasn't just a daughter. It was fraternal twins, a boy who's now a preacher, and then her daughter.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, this is where I take exception to people like Governor Asa Hutchinson that constantly battered me and blocked me and tried to say that we needed to have these exceptions. And I said, how could I look a mother or adopted parents in the face and tell them that their child was not worthy of their life being saved? That's what you're saying. So we never approve or even condone anybody that's been traumatized. But what we're saying is that our culture needs to figure out a more humane way to address this. We can tend to the crimes and handle those issues while not causing more devastation through the taking of all of these babies' lives. And so, Bishop, what I would last say to you is we need the pulpits to engage. We can win this battle in our nation for life if pulpits will decide to get involved.
Amen. Amen. Jason, that was powerful and very much needed. Every word needed to be said. I'm ready for you to go on. Folks, press *6 to get in queue to ask a question or to discuss this. The first question I want to put on the table for you is on related to this. We are seeing now with the use of this federal law, I think it's called FACE, the Thank absolute you. Trampling of First Amendment liberties of pro-life Christians who want to peacefully, unobtrusively protest the killing of unborn babies outside these abortuaries, and they are being arrested. They are being charged with federal crimes, and we know some of them right now are facing up to 11 years in prison. They didn't touch anybody. They didn't block anybody. They didn't do anything of a physical nature, but just praying and singing hymns and witnessing to people who go by is enough, apparently, to get you locked up in federal prison for years. And we're not doing that to some of these people committing heinous crimes, assaults and rapes and murders, and they're getting out sometimes. Just had three guys beat up these police officers. They're out the same day. And here we're threatening. What can the National Association of Christian Lawmakers do? And I know you all are state based, and I realize that, you know, this is a federal law. But what can you all do to bring some sanity to this situation?
Well, thank you for bringing this up. Actually, the people that are right in the middle of that fight in Washington reached out to me the other day, and we do have federal folks, right, that are involved with what we're doing. So it is state, local, and federal. And just to make that point, sometimes it gets lost. But in Washington, you know, we just hosted Speaker Johnson, where you spoke and opened our meeting. It's such a wonderful job. The very next day, you know, we were at the U.S. Capitol, and it was the first meeting that we had hosted in the U.S. Capitol itself. We had seven congressmen and one U.S. senator that came through in an hour and a half to visit with 50, I think we were 57 of us that were NACL related, and you were there for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Congressman Mary Miller, I have been conversing with her through text over the last few days. She is, you know, a very strong voice out of Illinois, believe it or not, where Congressman Miller serves. And she is in the U.S. House, and she's become a very strong advocate for faith and family values. And so I reached out to her asking for Congress to hold a hearing about the babies. And so there's one aspect of this FACE Act. You know about the issue in Tennessee, but you have these other folks that were protesting in Washington, D.C. in the district a few years ago. They found five corpses of babies while they were out around that clinic, okay? I think they were in the trash, as I recall. They took those bodies and they turned them in. They wanted them to be, you know, turned in because they, to be honest with you, Bishop, I think that's an abuse of a corpse to just throw a baby out in the trash. In many states, that's a crime to do that. And so they found those babies, and believe it or not, they have flipped this whole situation and charged them under the FACE Act. Okay, they're charged the people that were that said we found these babies, and we want to turn them in so that they're humanely handled. They've charged them. They actually are going after them to sentence them, just like the people in Tennessee. And I was told by Congressman Miller that she was going to address this with her colleagues. And what needs to happen is if the federal courts, which we know in some jurisdictions are just, they might as well be a Planned Parenthood rally center. I've been in the federal courthouses to watch federal judges, Bishop. They'll turn on the people defending the pro-life laws, treat them like dogs, and they act like these people that fly in from New York City representing the abortion mills, just stepped off of a cloud nine. They flew in there on a cloud, that they treat them like that they're some sort of saint, and it's the lie of the devil in this whole thing. So what we are doing is we are working with our contacts on Capitol Hill to try to ask those congressmen, hold those hearings. You can hold a hearing for about anything you want to. You know that. You just got to have somebody willing to have a reason. And I'm saying bring the Department of Justice in, ask them why, because what's happening, they're now saying they're going to destroy the evidence that those people turned in. So now they're going to destroy the bodies completely from evidence, which destroys the case of what they saw there. We have a situation, we know, the federal government in many cases has been weaponized against individuals politically and movements. And we see that right now, unfortunately, that with the Democrats in control of the executive branch, that they have absolutely, using the FACE Act, declared war on pro-life people. So that's another case where we have to stand up for these folks. And I will tell you, Bishop, you're one of the best at bringing the issues to the forefront, because, as you know, what happens is we get lost in the overall debate, and then there are people like these young folks that have been arrested and facing 11 years. That's the real deal. They're suffering here. This is an injustice that's occurring in our nation, and we could go on and on today about the hypocrisy in the two-tiered system. So we need people to reach out to their congressmen, get involved, and we invite people to get involved with us at ChristianLawmakers.com. Become a member. Come to our meeting that's at Liberty University, June 6th, 8th. It's coming up here in June of this year.
You don't have to be a legislator to be a member, right?
That's exactly right. We found very early when God was birthing this vision in us that there were a lot of people who said, well, I'm not elected, but I want to be involved because I want to see Christians supported who are serving in office. And so when we have what's called an armor bearer member, and these are people that say, look, I support Christians serving in office. You know, the word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Mm-hmm. How's that ever going to happen if you don't really ensure that you got godly people that's serving in office? And the other thing is, just like a couple weeks ago, I called you, Bishop. We had our chair of Oregon who was attacked, like they always do, pulling out pieces of what he says. They attacked him because he was advocating why Christians should serve in office. They received the first death threats that they said they've ever received while he was been serving in the legislature. And so we are there. As you know, I tried to get him in touch with you. We've done it with others. And talked with his wife, prayed with his wife, counseled with him. We are there to make sure that those Christian lawmakers know they're not alone. I wanted to add one little thing. It's interesting for people that might be listening. When we launched the NACL, we had been asking, was there ever another formal association of Christian lawmakers? Tim Barton and David Barton are so wonderful at Wall Builders. Tim is on the advisory board, and he stood before our group and he said, this is the first time, it's historic, that there ever has been a formal National Association of Christian Lawmakers that has been launched. And he also said, but what's interesting is that we have a copy of a letter written in 1802 by Alexander Hamilton, one of our founding fathers and a friend of Washington. And Alexander Hamilton said in that letter, as he wrote to James Bayard, he said, we need to form a Christian constitutional society for two reasons: to further the Christian religion in our country, and also to protect the United States Constitution. He even laid out how many people should be part of this governing structure, Bishop. Had it laid out very, very clearly in there. And then, unfortunately, he got killed in that horrible duel with Aaron Burr. And do you know, I think the devil had a hand in that, because that idea lay dormant in that letter for over 100 years, 150 years. And then here it is now in 2020, a group of lawmakers and influencers and faith leaders from across the country arrived in Destin, Florida at a hotel in the middle of the early days of COVID and said, we're not going to bow down to what's happening in a nation today. And we're going to come together. We're not trying to create a theocracy. That's another show for you.
Right.
We're not trying to create theocracy, not be, as they're trying to allege through saying Christian nationalism. No, we simply say, we understand that God has given us rights that no man gave us and no man should be able to take away. And we happen to believe we've tried the other thing for 50 or 60 years in America where they're pushing God out and we're being destroyed for it. And we want to resurrect the values of the founding fathers. We need revival in the country, but we need revival in the pulpits, and everyone has a place in this battle for the soul of America.
Well, we've got some calls coming in, but I've got to get this in, and we'll try to let you go here in a few minutes. But here's the other thing: I just hit, for example, YouTube. They've kicked me off three times. I'm back on because they can't find a justification. But my following on YouTube is large enough it could monetize, and we were told they would not allow me to monetize. In other words, people to advertise on the various things I do. They said because my content is harmful. Yeah. My content, and this is not just about me. It's about you. As I'm thinking to myself, what you're doing, Fox ought to have you on regularly. Newsmax ought to have you on regularly. ABC, NBC, they ought to all be talking to you because you represent a major constituency in our country. But there's this effort to really silence the Christian voice.
How do you
deal with that?
Well, number one, we believe that you be salt and light. You could be one of the most righteous and holy people in America, but if you never went out into the marketplace, who would ever know? How would you influence them? And so we are seeing in the country now that the devil, they have commandeered many areas of our culture, media, even education, definitely entertainment, et cetera. So we believe that all of us have a place. You know, Genesis 1:26-28, people hate me to say it, and others quote it, and I'm going to keep quoting it, but God's perfect plan was he created man and woman, and he said, you go out and fill and take authority and dominion over everything on the earth, over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, over everything that creeps on the earth, and I like to say even the creeps. Take authority over the creeps. And so the deal is that in America, what's interesting is they get all excited and demonize the Christians for organizing, but you don't hear them getting after Ilhan Omar and the Muslims that organized to win her seat in Minnesota, did they? There's nobody getting on to the Muslims for organizing voting registration drives and busing people to the polls. You never hear that, okay? But you definitely say, oh, the Christian, you need to stay in the church house. No, that's a lie from the pits of hell. It is a lie. You know, I just got asked the other day about my favorite books because Sarah Huckabee Sanders appointed me to the library board in Arkansas, Bishop, which that's going over like a lead balloon in the liberal community. And they said, I said, well, I love the Bible. I'm a Christian. I said, but I also love this little book that you can read in one evening called How Do You Kill 11 Million People? Now, that book was written by Andy Andrews, Bishop. I don't know if you've read it yet.
I've read it.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of literature that says how you kill them is you lie to them. And that's how that the Nazis and the Soviet Union and all the authoritarian groups, and that's what's happening in America today. You know the difference between a little girl and a little boy. You know the definition of a woman, but they're lying to you about it. You know that those babies and those mothers' wombs, with those hearts beating, you know that they're living human beings that are precious in God's sight, but they're lying to us and saying that it's just a fetus and that they have no human characteristics. And they have built a lie that has divided this country. And I'll say, since we've held on a little longer here, I'm going to tell you the two strongest false gods in America today are the false god to abortion, that bloodlust devil that they've stood up and bought one party's life with it. They actually literally stood up this. It is a strong false god, as strong as a 90-foot-tall false god that Nebuchadnezzar stood up and said everybody bow down to it or be fired. And the second is the LGBTQ movement, and they are radical. And this, these false things are built on lies, and they're dividing our country. And I love our friend Bob McEwen, Bishop. Bob McEwen says, he says, you name me one book in the Bible that's not written by a politician, about a politician, or to a politician. Politicians and government are all over the Word of God. What do you think the whole story of Moses and the Hebrew children is about, getting them out of Egypt? What do you think about David killing Goliath on a battlefield? What do you think about Paul being in jail? All of these things, and we have been sold a batch of lies, and we have people that have been silent in the face of evil. And this is why that letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas and the books that you've written, Bishop, your voice, we have to keep pushing it forward. So a big, long answer here to say we've got to be in the marketplace. We've got to be speaking out and help us do what needs to be done, because if you don't, you're going to lose the country.
I think we've got one call. Before we take that, so just stand by, Peter. How do people get in touch, support you? Give them the rundown how to connect with you and connect with NACL.
Very simply, ChristianLawmakers.com is the website, and it's a very simple website. The organization is new, and of course we get hassled by a lot of leftist groups. So you've got really the nuts and bolts, the who, what, when, and where. And then really to get engaged with us, become a member. You could do that online. You simply become a member. That then gets you invitations to be a part of special calls that we do, and definitely our national conference that's coming up June 6th through 8th at Liberty University. And you can come and participate and meet with lawmakers from all over the country, people that are carrying these bills that are actually making a difference in the community. So we want you to be a part of that. The other thing is that you will get to connect with a lot of wonderful groups that participate. We often have people there from Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, First Liberty, Liberty Council. We have a lot of the pro-life advocates that are there. Even Frank Pavone, as you know, is on our board of advisors with Priests for Life, Kristen Hawkins, Students for Life. You've got an opportunity to network with people. You see, we love conferences, right, and events. But the NACL is a working paralegislative group where you have seven committees that are working on these issues where people provide testimony. Right now, one of the big things coming out of December, Bishop, is that there are people that heard about these gold and silver transactional issue at our conference. They're running bills all over the country about it. I've been getting calls the last week and a half about school chaplaincy bills, kind of based upon the Texas school chaplain bill that passed out there. I got a guy in Florida here who's about to do In God We Trust posters in one of the biggest school districts in Florida. He reached out to me about how we get that done. We're helping people do the big things, the small things, the moderate things, as long as it supports honoring God and country in the United States of America. One of the other things they can do is that on my Facebook page, which has been, as you know, squelched, our viewership, because of what we do, they don't put us in the feeds anymore. Yeah. So we used to literally have hundreds of thousands of people watching our live streams. Not anymore. So we need people to help us with Jason Rapert Save the Nation. That's the name of our daily program that we do, is to push that content out. And so on my page, you will see every day a program called Save the Nation, which Bishop has been on many times, and he's even agreed to even help us guest host some of these programs. We have people from all over the country talking about the issues that are important to you. In addition to that, on Andrew Womack's Gospel Truth TV, we come on there every day. And so we obviously need help to make it all happen. And we have people that simply give us $10 a month, Bishop, but we have people that sometimes sponsor for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 because it is a C3. It's a nonprofit. You can't get a tax deduction, but you are supporting the work of what they say is the first formal National Association of Christian Lawmakers in the country. And I'm telling you, if America is going to be saved out of the turmoil we're in today, Christians are going to be right in the center of making that happen, just like they were in the center of making it happen when we were formed in the 1770s.
Hey, man. Well, we have a caller who's been very patient waiting for us to talk. So
yeah,
let's take that call. This will be our first and our only call today, but go right ahead.
Thanks, Bishop. I got on the call late, so sorry about that. It's Peter LaBarber from Ohio. And what I wanted to ask you is, we got decimated, as you know, on the pro-life referendum, which I don't think 99 out of 100 people voting even read. But I wondered, I do know that the Republican Party did terribly on both the pro-abortion amendment and also the thing where they tried to head it off with a 60% for referendum vote, and they're both mishandled. And I'm just wondering what your sense is of legislators, and especially Republicans, how they're dealing with this life issue now that the left has seized upon it as a way to win through referendums. And my other question for you, if you could answer that one, is how do we get back to focusing on the fight against gay marriage, which, although I'm supporting Trump, he's sort of given up on that. How do we get that initiative back and go on offense to overturn Obergefell? Because I think we can't lose sight of that. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, loaded questions, great questions, Peter. And I've talked, we have several members in Ohio. One thing in Ohio, this is on a personal basis, but please help to elect Representative Reggie Stoltzfus to the United States Congress. His election is coming in just a few days. He's our state chair for Ohio. He's a wonderful man serving in the House of Representatives there, but he has a real chance to win that seat in Congress, and that would be a beautiful thing for you all to help elect him to Congress and win that primary. I've talked to people in Ohio, and here's where I'm at. It's kind of where I started the conversations. The reason we're losing is there are people that are great people that say they're pro-life, and they're sitting idle in their churches or sitting at home. They're not involved. Bishop has quoted these statistics probably many, many times, but we're still in a situation where they say only about half the evangelical Christians in America are even registered to vote. And then only half of those that are registered consistently vote. That means that 75% of the Lord's army is sitting home eating popcorn, drinking Pepsi. Okay? Now, don't tell me that you're really trying to save this country and you're really, really trying to make a place better for your kids and your grandkids when you don't even have the gumption to get out there. We're not asking you to pick up a hoe. We're not asking you to pick up a shovel. We're not asking you to pick up a gun. We're asking you to go out and vote. Just to vote. Just to take an hour and go vote somewhere and get involved. And so many of these things, as you know, are being won with only 5% swings in the vote here. And so literally, in Arkansas, I'm going to tell you, Bishop, this is going to burn the britches of all the Arkansans. We now have the awful distinction of having the lowest voter turnout in the country. And I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world with these people? This is how Arkansas got casinos. This is how Arkansas got marijuana approved in our state, is because they let the left come in, who was much more passionate and much more religious in their fervor than the Christians were, and they got outworked. And so I'm just telling you, God's got to be looking down here and say, what a bunch of incompetent folks. They're praying for me, but they won't go use the tool I put in their hand, which is the vote. Go vote. And here's the thing. I've read the whole Bible, 66 books of the Bible. Bishop, you let me know if I'm wrong on this, but I can't find any place where angels go vote. People do. And so what we've got to do is get them out there. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are in a church where your pastor has never discussed these issues from their pulpits, not one time, then you need to really seriously consider addressing that with them, and hopefully out of love that they might begin to address these cultures, knowing that there's people that are fearful for the future of the nation and want to save it. And to be honest, you may have to find you another place, because it is a fool's game to say you're praying to save the nation and that you're complicit with allowing Satan's army to overwhelm us. So you've got to get involved. You've got to vote.
Well,
and
the other party,
his deal was the Republican Party. And I will just tell you, it's going to be up to Christian conservatives to get this thing back together, sir. And you're right on Obergefell. I said the two strongest false gods in America are the LGBT false god and the abortion. And I'm telling you that it's going to take the intensity. You know, it was religious intensity and fervor that helped abolish slavery in this country that brought us to that point. And we've got to do the same thing to try to save the country here, because it's truly a rot inside of the soul of the country that's got to be handled.
And Jason, those two idols know that if they can destroy the church, if they can emasculate it, silence it, marginalize it, they've won the day, because there's nobody else to fight them. If Christians aren't standing up, there's nobody else who's going to do it. So we better realize we got a target on our backs. And we can either just bare our backs and say, just go ahead and shoot me, and I'll just lay down for you. Yeah. Or stand up and say, oh, no, you will not. We are the children of the Most High God, and we will not be defeated. So,
Bishop, I know we're over time, but I just want to say that anybody that wants to help save this country, reach out to us at ChristianLawmakers.com. I was so pleased the other day. We had a Democrat state legislator from Rhode Island. A black gentleman from Rhode Island that's in the Democrat Party that signed up to become a member of the NACL.
Praise God.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's telling you, you got people, they know that these parties are not doing right. And they're finally saying, okay, we got to get back and get together with some folks and unite to try to save the country. And I'm going to tell you something. We must do it. We're very, very close. This election is critical in 24, all the issues. And I'm telling you, somebody's got to be the conscience of the country and get the word out. And that's why I'm proud of what all we're doing, Bishop, with all these folks who are working together. So thanks for having me today. I know we're over time, but you got me up all going here, too.
Jason, it's always a pleasure. And listen, I'll follow up with you, because we're gonna have you on Truth and Liberty and follow up on some of these issues and help get the word out to the body of Christ. Brother, keep up the good work. We're praying for you. We're with you. And I'm going to encourage everybody to support the National Association of Christian Lawmakers.
Thank
God
you.
Bless. All right. God bless. Folks, let me just quickly, because we are significantly over time, but it was worth every moment as far as I'm concerned. So let me just quickly say, I am going to be guest hosting Truth and Liberty this coming Thursday at, I believe it's 5 p.m. Eastern time. Tune in to go to Truth and Liberty. I think it's truthandliberty.com, the A-N-D, but you can Google it and you'll be able to find it, truthandliberty.com, or what is it, DuckDuckGo it, whichever you are using, and check that out. If you haven't followed me on Twitter, I've got a tweet that's going viral where I call the NFL out about having two national anthems, because I point out there's only one national anthem. Let's see. Next week, we've got Ryan Bomberger. And then the week after that, we've got Senator Tommy Tuberville, who will be on with us. So be sure to mark that in your schedule. Folks, we're going to keep fighting, because, as I always say, I know we've already won. It's just a question of how it happens and when it happens, not whether it happens. We've already won, because you simply can't build anything on wickedness and evil and unrighteousness and expect it to withstand the onslaught of a holy God. You just can't. So, you know, God is being patient, trying to give people a chance, trying to give Christians a chance to step up and stand up for our country and our culture and to unite and not let things divide us. You know, all this denominational division and racial division, all this nonsense should not be of any part of the body of Christ. We should be united in who we are. Our chief identity is in Christ Jesus, not in race and not in party and not in denomination. Those things can have their place, but that's not who we really are. Who we are is the children of the Most High God. And when we really come together and act like it and stand up with and for each other, nothing can stop us. So I said, YouTube is censoring me. Jason just pointed out Facebook is censoring him. I know exactly what he's talking about. We know they're shadow banning us. They're doing things to keep more people from seeing our stuff and more audiences from being aware that we're out there. And that's why we've got to develop our own means of communication and utilize Christian means of communication, encourage people to turn to those venues, because I think we're going to be increasingly discriminated against by the so-called mainstream. So, but folks, God bless each and every one of you. Look, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.